Go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And that's over in Acts chapter 9. And I thought this morning we were going to look at this man named Cornelius, the conversion of Cornelius. It's in the next chapter, Acts chapter 10. I kept reading, and that is just such a precious story. And I cannot wait, maybe Wednesday. But in the course of study, I was led to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this morning we are going to look at the conversion of Samuel. We're going to see how God opened his eyes and opened his ears and opened his heart. But this entire story is so sweet from page one. There's so many lessons to be learned in this story of Samuel. And one of them is this. You cannot outgive the Lord. That's one of the lessons we learn here. Turn over to chapter 1. 1 Samuel 1, look at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Now, they went to the temple, and Eli was the priest there, and he had two sons, and they were priests also. Verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. That means a double portion. For he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, that's Peninnah, also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Now verse 10 says, and Hannah was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She could have no children. She was barren. And she was tormented by this. And she was grieved by this. And she cried out to God over this. And God gave her one son. One son. And she gave him right back to her Lord. She said the rest of his days he's going to be lent to the Lord. All right, we'll look at chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. She couldn't have any kids. God gave her one. She said, He belongs to the Lord. God gave her five more. You cannot outgive the Lord. That's sweet. That is sweet. Now, another lesson in this story, and we're not going to go through the verses, but another lesson in this story is this. Just because God saved my parents, it doesn't mean God will save me. Eli, the priest, had two sons. They were priests also. But they profaned their service to the Lord. They made a mockery of it. They sinned against God. And in our text, God told Samuel, I'm going to kill Eli's two sons. Because of their sin, I'm going to kill them both. Bloodline has nothing to do with salvation. Absolutely nothing at all. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. He's going to save whom he will and only whom he will. But Hannah's son Samuel was lent to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. And chapter 3 tells us how. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. What did he do? He ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He was sent there to minister, but he didn't preach. He was just a child. What did he do? My guess is he started out by sweeping the floor and taking out the trash. Whatever was a help to Eli in the ministry. My prayer is that whatever God would call me to do, let me tell you something. That sweet little darling child in the nursery, I hope God opens her ears and heart. Let her cry. She's not bothering me. I pray God does save him or her. I don't even know who it is. But we got a whole bunch of hers. This child, this little child, was lent to the Lord. Okay? Put in the hands and service of the Lord. And he did whatever was a help to Eli, whatever was a help to the ministry. My prayer is that whatever God would have me to do, whether it's preach a message or sweep this floor, I pray that God would give me a heart to do it as unto the Lord. That's what I pray. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. I pray that for all of us. Whatever our hand finds to do, I pray God would give us a heart to do it with all of our might, to the best of our ability, as unto the Lord. Out of thankfulness for giving us this ministry, I thought about how thankful I am. Aren't we so thankful that God has given us this? put this ministry in our hands, the ministry of the gospel. We're so thankful for that. Verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There is no open vision today. None. God's word is precious today. Precious means rare. That's what it means. The preaching of God's word is rare. Precious also means valuable. How valuable is the word of God to us? How valuable is it? What would it take for you to be willing to give up his word? What could a man give you for you to give up the word of God? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Our Lord said, buy the truth and sell it not. This is the most valuable thing that we own. The most valuable. It's able to make us wise unto salvation. But there's one more definition to the word precious. It means rare, it means valuable, and it means costly. Costly. In order to have the true word, and our Lord said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. In order to believe the true Word, it is going to cost you. It's going to cost you some things in this world. But it is so worth it. He is so precious. The Word of the Lord was precious. That song says, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious. Verse 2 says, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now, Eli didn't hear this voice. Eli didn't hear it. I don't know if it was out loud or I don't know if it was just to Samuel's heart. But it was so real to him, he jumped up and ran to Eli. It was that real to him. And when God starts working on the heart of a sinner, when God starts speaking through this word, when something in this word starts to trigger an ear, wait a minute. That sinner doesn't quite understand what he's hearing. But he gets up and he starts seeking the voice. He becomes a seeker. He doesn't just sit in the same old place of darkness. What was that? Where does the voice of God lead the child of God? To the servant of God. The servant's going to tell him about Christ. That servant, the servant of God, is going to say, I didn't call you. I didn't do anything. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. What mercy it is that the Lord would call again. Isn't that such mercy? That he would call again. Call me again, Lord. I pray that today he would call me again. Lord, if you don't call, I won't come. There's a song that says, great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. The Lord called yet again. I pray that tomorrow God would call me again. And when I wake up the next day, I pray God would call me again. Lord, I'm out in left field again. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Call me back. Call me again. Verse 7 says, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Isn't that amazing? Samuel didn't know the Lord. He was lent to the Lord by his mother. And he ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And I'm sure that he had some mental understanding of the Lord. And he had heard the name, the Lord. And I'm sure he had some idea of God and some idea of sin, because all the people brought sin offerings to the temple. That's what Eli did. That's the service he helped him in. But if the Lord does not reveal Himself to the heart of a sinner through His Word, none of that stuff matters. None of that matters. In spite of all that, verse 7 says, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Verse 8 says, And the Lord called Samuel again. Oh, how merciful. How merciful. He called him again. Verse 8 says, The Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And that is a wonderful thing to perceive. That's such a wonderful thing to perceive. Sinners come to the house of God. Most of them were lent there by their mother. You're going to go. I'm going to tell you that right now. Some of them do their service unto the Lord. But they're sitting in darkness. And they don't yet know the Lord. And they hear the word, and they hear the word, and the Lord calls. And we're so blind, and we're so dead, and we're so deaf, we can't hear. But God in mercy calls again. And He shouldn't. One call. Come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The supper's made ready. They won't come. Well, then get them out. But the Lord calls again. And all of a sudden, you can start to perceive that I think the Lord is calling that person. Eli perceived the Lord was calling Samuel. And it's a wonderful, precious thing to perceive. When God goes to work on the heart of a sinner, others can perceive it. Verse 8, And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, God's servant is about to tell this sinner five things. He's about to give him a five-point message. And this proves to me it does not matter how long a message is. God can take one word and slay a soul with it. Don't you wish God would slay a soul? I wish He would slay my soul today. Here's His five-point outline. Verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, number one,
go lie down.
Go lie down. Take your place as a sinner. If we look at this story of Cornelius, we're going to see that Peter preached a message to him. And the first thing Peter said was, God is no respecter of persons. First thing out of his mouth. All flesh is grass. Go lie down. Well, that's not what I was expecting to hear. I thought God loved me and had a wonderful plan for my life. Nope. Go lie down. You're nothing but a sinner. Well, that's not doing me any good. I walked in this morning feeling really good about myself because I decided to come to church. Go lie down. Go lie down. Get in your place. You're treating me like a dog. Truth, Lord. Lie down. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner. And do you know what we must do? We must bend this knee. If it does not bend now, God will break it later. Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I'm telling you, it is mighty. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Lord. David wrote, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Angry? I'm fine with kissing Jesus. But what do you mean angry? You kiss the Son of God, lest he be angry. Bend the knee and kiss his feet, lest he be angry. John said, he must increase. You know what I must do? Decrease. Go lie down. Go lie down. You know how vital that message is? We have so many false prophets trying to build up people's self-esteem. You know what the Word of God says? Go lie down. Go lie down. Aren't you glad the message doesn't stop right there, though? Eli got to the second point in his message. Verse 9 says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be. It shall be. It's true, we're all sinners. But Christ came to save sinners, and it shall be. I'm telling you, it shall be. Isaiah said, he shall not fail. Christ came to save sinners. He came to shed his blood for sinners. Did he fail? He himself said, I will, and they shall. You know, the foundation of this gospel, people go to church and you wonder what church is all about. And you hear the gospel, you hear that phrase, the gospel. People sing gospel music and all these things. What is the gospel? What is the foundation of the gospel? What is it built on? Shall. That's what it is. Shall. David said, this good news is ordered and sure. It's ordered and sure. Go lie down. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. If God ever makes a sinner, God ever shows a sinner that he's a sinner, If God ever converts a man from thinking, I'm not that bad, I mean, you know, I'm not perfect, but if God ever shows him, I am an out and out sinner, then the good news is, go lie down. It shall be. Christ came to save sinners. And it shall be. Verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee. If he call thee, you better go lie down. Because God is sovereign and he doesn't have to call. If he call thee. That's the truth of salvation if I've ever told it. If he call thee. People think they're making decisions. Well, have you made your decision for Jesus? What difference does it make? The only thing that matters is if he call thee. Make all the decisions you want. People think that they're giving their heart to Jesus. Why would he want it? It's stony and dead. He said, I'm going to take that one out and throw it away and give you a heart of flesh. People are dedicating and then rededicating. People are taking the second step so he doesn't have to. Let's not make him work too hard. He's going to take the first one, but you need to help him out a little bit. Here's the truth of salvation. If he call thee. If he call thee. This is just adorable and convicting. About 25 or 30 years ago, there was a little girl who was 5 years old. Almost 6 years old. And her family attended the church in Ashland, Kentucky, 13th Street. And Brother Henry had a TV broadcast back then. And 30-minute broadcast, he came on and preached the gospel. And her parents, so wisely, when I heard this story, it just I got two little girls sitting right here. This little girl is in the middle of their ages. And her parents wisely knew the gospel is entering our household by way of TV. The gospel is streaming in. And they told their family, we're going to sit down and watch it. And what a blessing and what a convicting thing to realize every single time the gospel goes forth, our souls need it. And the only thing I regret is that it's my voice, but our souls need it. But anyway, this little girl was sitting there watching the TV, and Brother Henry came on and asked a question, which he asked many times, and we all asked this question. Did I choose God or did God choose me? And she looked at her mom and said, anybody knows that. No, honey. Anybody doesn't know that. And her mom asked her, she said, well, what's the right answer? She said, God chose me. And her mom said, well, why did God have to choose us? She said, because we're dirty, rotten scoundrels. Go lie down, dirty, rotten scoundrel. Eli brought 5 points. These are worthy of 5 messages. The first one ought to be called, go lie down. Second one ought to be called, it shall be. The third one ought to be called, if he call thee. The fourth one right here in verse 9. Go lie down, it shall be. If he call thee, thou shalt say. I'll tell you this. If he call thee, thou shalt say. There are no ifs, no ands and no buts about it. There is no choice in the matter. Well, I hear him call. Am I going to accept it or reject it? Thankfully, I don't have any say in the matter. I know what I do. But I don't have any say in the matter. David said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. A sinner is going to respond to the call of grace. Going to. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I call them all by name. Samuel, go lie down. It shall be. If he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I hear you. You've opened my ear. I never heard anything. I never heard anything like this in my life. I have been in church my whole life. I've owned a copy of this for 40 years now. Never heard anything like this in my life. I hear. You have done something to me. I know you have. I hear your voice in your word. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, please. Flood my soul with glory divine. All that a child of God needs, all that thrills his soul, is to hear his Lord speak. That's it. That's why we're all here. We have all gathered here today in the hope that God would speak to us. Speak, Lord. He didn't say, speak, Jesus. Speak, Jesus. Oh, man. Speak, Jehovah, God Almighty. Speak, Lord, thy servant. Thy servant. Does he need anything from a servant? No. But it's what a child of God wants to be, isn't it? Just let me be your servant. David said, I just wish I could be a doorkeeper. Greatest glory of my life would be if he would just let me be a doorkeeper. Close to thee. That's all I want to be, is close to thee. That's it. Well, that was Eli's message. Here's Samuel's response. The end of verse 9 says, so Samuel went and lay down in his place. You know what he did? He went back and rested. He just rested. You go back and lay down. Samuel, there's no work. What would you have me to do? There's no work to be done. Rest. Samuel, God is sovereign. Rest. If he has called you, Eli perceived that he called him. If he has called you, then it means he justified you with his own blood. And if he justified you, then it means he's going to glorify you. So rest. It is the Lord. Rest. Verse 9 says, so Samuel went down and lay in his place, and the Lord came. The Lord came. His promise is not going to fail. Great is thy faithfulness. Just like our Lord came the first time. We just talked about it. By God's grace, we're going to hear about it tonight. By God's grace, we're going to hear about it Wednesday. The Lord is coming back. Just like he came the first time, he is coming again. So rest. Just rest. All right, let's stand together.